Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2021 earnings conference call of Greenpanel Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Q4 and FY 2021 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, Managing Director, and Mr. V. Venkatramani, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation that is sent to you. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. A very warm welcome to everyone present, and thank you very much for joining us today to discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for quarter four, FY 2021. I do hope all of you and your families are safe and well. Business has gained momentum in this quarter. Net sales were up by 69.2% year-on-year at rupees 384 crores. Gross margins were down 442 basis points year-on-year at 53.8%. EBITDA margins were up by 662 basis points due to operational leverage in both the segments. Continuous focus on reducing wastage, superior product mix, and cost optimization. PAT is up by 765% year-on-year to rupees 57.87 crores. Net working capital at 35 days has shown a reduction of 10 days compared to the corresponding quarter last year. Net debt has reduced by 76 crores and rupees 157 crores during the quarter in FY 2021, respectively, and stands at rupees 376 crores as on 31st March 2021. We're targeting reduction of net debt by rupees 150 crores during FY 2022. We are not providing any guidance for financial year 2022 at this point in time due to the widespread impact of COVID-19. I will now request Mr. Venkatramani to run you through the financials in greater detail.
Good afternoon, everyone. I thank you all for joining us to discuss the Q4 FY 2021 financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. I hope that all of you and your families are safe and healthy. In Q4 FY 2021, our top line increased by 69.2% at rupees 384.36 crores compared to 227.19 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. Plywood sales grew by 65.4% at 82.74 crores, whereas MDF sales grew by 70.3% at 301.62 crores. Plywood volumes rose by 58% at 3.05 million square meters, and MDF volumes increased by 54.4% at 139,490 cubic meters. Uttarakhand MDF operated at 96% and AP unit operated at 105% capacity utilization, with blended capacity utilization of 102% for both the plants. Plywood unit operated at 98% during the quarter. In Q4, gross margins fell by 442 basis points year-on-year at 53.8% as compared to 58.2% in the corresponding quarter. This happened due to raw material cost increases and increased sales to the OEM segment. Gross profit grew by 56.3% at rupees 206.68 crores as compared to rupees 132.2 crores in Q4 FY 20. EBITDA margins were up by 662 basis points at 25.8% compared to 19.1% during the corresponding quarter. EBITDA in value terms grew by 127.8% at rupees 98.98 crores as compared to rupees 43.45 crores in Q4 FY20. Profit after tax increased by 765% at rupees 57.87 crores versus rupees 6.69 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. I'll now update you on the performance details for financial year 2021. During FY 2021, net sales grew by 20.5% at rupees 1000.21 crores compared to rupees 830.33 crores in FY 20. Plywood sales were almost flat at rupees 217.10 crores compared to rupees 215.46 crores. MDF sales rose by 27.4% at rupees 783.11 crores compared to rupees 614.87 crores during FY 20. Gross margins were almost flat at 53.9% compared to 54% in FY 20. Gross margin in value terms went up by 20.1% at rupees 538.68 crores against rupees 448.48 crores in the previous year. EBITDA margins were up by 420 basis points at 20.7% compared to 16.5% in FY 20. EBITDA in value terms increased by 51% at rupees 207.40 crores against rupees 137.33 crores in FY 20. Post-tax profits were up by 370% at rupees 76.17 crores as compared to rupees 16.20 crores in FY 20. Dispatches for plywood stood at 8.48 million units as compared to 8.51 million units, with capacity utilization at 71% compared to 78% in FY 20. MDF sales volumes were up by 20.4% at 380,431 cubic meters, with blended capacity utilization of the two plants at 69% compared to 60% in FY 20. Our debt to equity ratio stands at 0.57 as on March 31, 2021, compared to 0.78 as on March 31, 2020. Net debt reduced by rupees 157 crores during the year to rupees 376 crores as on 31st March 2021. That concludes my presentation. I would now request you to open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Kedar Kailaj from Fortress Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on very good quarter. So my first question is on the capacity. So you were going to increase the capacity to about 660,000 CBM. So given the capacity utilization has been pretty strong this quarter, so are you going to increase your, going to increase the capacity from beyond 660?
No, at the moment, we are not considering any capacity expansions beyond 660,000 cubic meters. This is not exactly a capacity expansion per se. We are adding some new machinery which will help us to remove some of the bottlenecks from production and expand the existing capacity by about 20%. So at the moment, we are not considering any capacity expansion beyond 660,000 cubic meters.
Okay, and we can go up, the capacity utilization can go up to 110% if I'm not wrong.
No, so that is built in into this figure of 660,000 cubic meters.
Okay, okay. And so second question is that since the raw material prices are increasing rapidly, so have you taken any price increase during the quarter?
Yeah, we had taken two price increases during the quarter, which aggregated to about 6.5% pan-India except the southern zones. And for the south zone, we had taken a price increase of 3.5%.
Okay, okay.
So that helped us to cover most of the cost increases.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations, sir, for the good set of numbers. My first question would be on South plant margin. Considering this delay in your peer plant in South and considering the anti-dumping duty and countervailing duty recommendations for imports from the different countries, and especially South is a major contributor for imports. So do you see your further price hikes in South India and your margin increasing and going through the roof in South plant especially? So can you highlight some margin factors?
Yeah.
Okay.
As of now, we're not planning on any... Sorry, go ahead.
No, aap kar lije.
As of now, there is no plan of any price increases in the south of India, because we've taken two subsequent price increases in the past quarter. And just to clarify, as of now, both the anti-dumping and the CBD are simply findings from the Commerce Ministry side, but they have not been implemented or approved by the Finance Ministry. So they are not in place at this point of now, time. So, given the pace at which things are moving, I do not foresee that we'll be able to see any price increases in the current quarter. And I think there might be a slight trickle in of imports coming into the country in the immediate sort of term, before these anti-dumping or CVD, if positive, are implemented.
Yes.
So keeping those in mind, we don't foresee any price increase possibility in the immediate term.
Okay. So, but if the those anti-dumping duty and countervailing duty is levied and if things improve, then you'll be thinking of increasing the price and improving the margin?
That is all market dependent, and what is the level of countervailing duty implemented.
Right.
In today's market scenario, import prices are already at a high level, and if countervailing is implemented and prices go up beyond our existing levels, then yes, we may consider an increase in price. But at the same time, even with countervailing, there may be a possibility that imports might continue to be cheaper. So we will have to see the market scenario before we can take a decision. It's too premature to say whether we'll be able to take a price increase or not.
Okay. Fine. And my next question would be, post-COVID, there's been a huge opportunity for MDF manufacturers in terms of modular furniture segment and a lot of consumers preferring ready-made furniture. So now post-COVID, once things settle down, so what would be your outlook on the same, whether this demand will continue going forward?
Well, I think this is, a lot of it is a general sort of conversion towards the ready-made furniture culture. I don't think, COVID might have fueled it to a certain extent, but this conversion has already been happening and has been in the making for some time now. So I don't see that this would, let's say post-COVID, when the pandemic actually settles, that there would be a sudden dip in this conversion or preference of ready-made furniture. I think this is here to stay.
Okay, that's great. And lastly, you mentioned that there will be a reduction of debt of around 150 crore in FY22. So, what will be your net debt by end of FY22 and any further reduction in FY23?
Okay. So, based on our targeted debt reduction plan of 150 crores in FY22, we should have approximately about 230 crores of net debt at the end of FY23. And we will have budgeted repayments of approximately 75 crores in FY23. And of course, depending upon cash flows, we will look at reducing net debt further.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Poddar from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. And many congratulations for excellent set of numbers. So my question is on the quarterly run rate now. So in Q4, we clocked about 380-385 crores of top line. Do you think that in the coming quarters, this number is maintainable for all the four quarters? And as and when the new capacity comes, it will increase only. So any sense on your quarterly run rate now? And also on the demand side, considering the lockdown, has it impacted demand for you in the interim from the OEM or from the retail point of view? So your comments will be helpful, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. So we had a reasonably good performance in the month of April, although it was not as good as March. But that's reasonably expected that after March, things do slow down a bit in April. So we had a reasonably good performance in April. But because of the lockdown in vast areas of the country, we are expecting that Q1 numbers will be substantially impacted. And like Shobhanji mentioned, that we are not giving any guidance for FY22 at this point of time because we don't really know what will be the impact of COVID, whether it will extend beyond Q1, and whether it will have a significant impact on Q2 numbers. Yes. In normal circumstances, yes, we can expect to achieve that number we did in Q4. And with the capacity expansion expected in quarter three, we could possibly surpass those numbers in quarter four FY22. But everything will depend on what kind of impact COVID has on the economy and how much of an extended slowdown it has on the economy.
Certainly, sir. Certainly. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for the great performance. What I wanted to understand is in terms of the raw material cost inflation. So can you give us some sense in terms of the key raw material and what has been the price, the cost inflation actually in the fourth quarter on a YOY basis? And you did mention that the price increase what we have taken is kind of offsetting the entire cost inflation. But just wanted to understand fourth quarter, what has been each of the key raw material cost inflation, also how it has trended in the month of April, May?
Okay. We had, although I'm not able to give you an accurate figure for the raw material increases in quarter four specifically, I would imagine they would have gone up by about 5% in that quarter. And prior to that, we had almost a 5% increase in prices of key raw materials, both timber and resin during quarter two and quarter three as well. So overall, raw material costs had gone up by about 10% last year. And with the price increases that we took, we were almost able to cover the raw material cost impact, although not to the full extent. I estimate that we had a gap of about 100 basis points. And in the current quarter also, there have been some raw material price increases, specifically on the chemical side. So we have gone for another cost increase, price increase of 4% in April, although the actual impact will be from the beginning of May. And going forward also, depending upon market conditions, we hope that we will be able to take further price increases for any further increase in raw material prices.
And these comments are pertaining to MDF or the company as a whole, sir?
Primarily on the MDF side. On the plywood side, we have not had any major impact in raw materials. There was probably a 2% raw material cost increase during the year. And we had taken a price increase of 2.5% in July. So that helped us to counter that.
And has there been further price increase after July, sir, in plywood sector?
Not on the plywood side.
And is there any plan to take any price increase in the current quarter?
We are planning a price increase, but you know, whether it will be implemented from May or June, that's something, you know, we'll be taking a look depending upon market conditions.
And would you be okay to disclose that, how, what kind of price increase we are probably looking at?
Somewhere in the range of 3-4%.
Right. My second question, you know, in terms of the plywood business, you know, what kind of, are we going to look at any outsourcing, or are we going to stick to just whatever capacity we have, we'll stick to that that much revenue as such for the plywood?
Yeah, on the plywood side, you know, at optimum capacity utilization, we can possibly target revenues of 350 crores. So at the moment, we are not considering any expansion in plywood.
Is there any scope for expansion in the same facility?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think we have sufficient space at the Uttarakhand plant for any further plywood expansion.
Understood. And could you please talk about, you know, how the export, what has been the mix, what is the export realization, how it has changed, and how do you see, you know, it playing out over the next couple of years? Do you see that the export mix will substantially come down, will be more of a domestic selling?
Yeah, I think yes, that's the plan in future. So, you know, if we look at FY21, our total exports were approximately 83,000 cubic meters. Although, you know, we could have done a further quantum of another 30,000 cubic meters because we had orders in hand, but could not, you know, execute those orders due to non-availability of containers and ships. So at the moment, we are targeting approximately 120,000 cubic meters of exports in FY22. And, you know, possibly I think we should be somewhere close to that number in FY23 also.
And what is the margins typically for the exports compared to domestic, sir?
At the moment, you know, if you look at last year, we would have had a margin of approximately 10% on exports. But prices are increasing in the international markets. So looking at future prices, I think, yes, we can have a margin of about 14% on the exports front.
And how about domestic, sir, for FY21?
For FY21?
Yeah, margins, EBITDA margins for the domestic segment.
So for the full year, we had a margin of 23% blended for domestic and exports. You know, although margin was pretty low in the first couple of quarters due to the impact of COVID. And we had a margin of approximately 28% in Q4 for the MDF business, domestic and exports put together. I would possibly look at domestic margin of 30% if we are able to, you know, operate at optimum capacity utilization.
Understood. Just one more question with respect to OEM, you know, what is the mix for us in terms of, A, wholesale and the retail, and B, in terms of pick and pay?
Okay. So if you look at the mix between retail and OEMs, the retail would be approximately 65% and OEM would be about 35%. The mix between thick and thin is 70/30.
Right. Understood. Just one more question, if I may, sir. With respect to, you know, the geographical mix, in terms of this, MDF volumes, sir, in India, domestic.
Okay. I don't have the exact numbers. Achal, I'll get back to you during the course of this evening.
Sure, sure. No problem, sir. Thank you so much. I come back for more. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead. Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss.
Hey, congrats. I'm so sorry. Congratulations on great set of numbers, sir. Sir, my first set of question will be related to southern market. Have you started seeing any supply from Rusal coming in on any kind of price or, you know, drop because of that? If at all you could highlight that parameter.
No, at the moment, no such thing has happened.
No new supplies coming in?
No.
Also, sir, my second question will be related to OEM. We were trying to increase the share of pre-laminated portion. Could you quantify where are we right now? Where do we plan to take it, take this forward? Because I think we are targeting somewhere about 100%-150% margin expansion, because of this value addition. If at all you can give some color on that.
So, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, please.
Okay. Pre-laminated MDF was approximately 12% in quarter four. You know, if we look at previous quarters, there has been a significant increase in pre-lam volumes. You know, we had done an average of about 10,000 cubic meters in the first three quarters, and we did about 14,000 cubic meters in quarter four. The, you know, quantity of plain MDF has also been increasing because of higher capacity utilization. On a percentage basis, there's not been any significant increase in pre-lam volumes. Going ahead, you know, we are also in the process of installing a treater machine in, at the Andhra plant, which will enable us to, you know, do a faster turnaround of pre-laminated production at Andhra. I think, you know, we could look at a substantial expansion in pre-lam volumes this year as compared to last year.
Right. The reason I'm asking this question is, if I'm not wrong, there are many or smaller players in India who are actually importing MDF and pre-laminating and selling it in India. Could you actually quantify such market size and what is an opportunity for us here?
Shravanji, can you take that?
Yeah. I don't actually, that you're correct where you say that there is a lot of people importing MDF, but I don't think we are competing with those guys because the quality of product that they are supplying, especially the paper, is not a segment that we are competing in a large manner. We have a cheaper range of product that we try to cater to that segment. However, that's a very small percentage for us. I would say that the segment that the organized players play in the prelam sort of market and the OEMs that we cater to with that is not really competing with that particular segment of the unorganized segment where people are bringing in imports and putting local Indian paper on it.
Sure, got that, sir. Also, one last question, if I may just raise it. This was mainly related to the current demand scenario. So, as you rightly said that, you know, I mean, you are actually more into the OEM segment also with 35% demand coming in. What is the direct impact that you're seeing both on the retail end? We understand that the impact would be more on the retail because of the lockdown situation. But what is happening with the demand at OEM end? If at all, you can give some quantifiable picture on that versus Q4, how are we doing right now?
Okay, as far as the OEM segment is concerned, so during the month of April, it was slightly lower than the month of March. Like I mentioned, in March, OEM segment was about 35%, so it was 33% in April. And if you look at May, I would say it's probably, you know, around a similar number. So, but then, you know, we have seen a substantial dip in volumes in the month of May. So, it's not really, you know, and we have had only 13 days of operation. So, I think right. I'll probably able to give you a better idea by the end of the month.
Sure. It is nothing like that, you know, OEMs are performing better than retail market.
No. I would say it's more or less the same both on retail and OEM side. So we are seeing a dip in volumes on both the sides and almost of a similar proportion.
Sure. That was helpful, sir. Congratulations once again and all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dushyant Mehta from Sage One Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to know how would you attribute this growth? Has there been a significant growth because of exports coming into India going down, or do you think this is more
sustainable? Sorry, you will not repeat that. You're slightly inaudible. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, of course. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, I was just asking what percentage of this growth do you think came from just import substitution, the imports coming into India, and how much do you think is sustainable over the long term? As in, like, how many clients have you acquired this quarter that were first-time clients or people who wouldn't normally buy from you?
I think in the past couple of quarters, I think there has been a substantial import substitution, and a lot of it is also on account of the pandemic where, you know, supplies from foreign countries have been subdued and freight, of course, has been a challenge. But at the same time, if you look at the international market now, demand for MDF has substantially gone up and, you know, prices being availed in foreign countries is almost at par with the domestic realizations that we have here. So when circumstances like this happen, then India by default becomes the least sort of preferred market because realizations for exporters are much lower in India compared to the other lucrative markets. So this has always been the case historically with the import model that you know, when capacities are lower, demand is high, supply is lower, then India does tend to get neglected in this manner. So, yes, there has been a substantial increase, but at the same time, we are also expecting and hopeful that if the government is favorable towards the implementation of the restrictions, then we will see the situation for the long term. Where imports will become more expensive to come to India.
Understood. All right. And just a question on your realizations. Could you split that up in the north versus the southern market?
Please go.
Yeah, just.
Yes.
Okay. So the domestic realizations for the Uttarakhand plant, I'll give you the Q4 numbers, were 25,480 rupees per cubic meter. And for the Andhra plant, were 21,124 cubic meters. But two reasons for that. One, we have two products in Uttarakhand which are high-value items. One is vinyl MDF, and the second is flooring MDF. Now, vinyl MDF sells at a premium of about 40% as compared to the plain MDF. And flooring MDF sells at almost 300% as compared to the plain MDF. So if we exclude these two products, even then, I think there would be about a 5% premium at the northern plant as compared to the southern plant.
Understood. That's all from me. Thank you.
Also, to add to that for everyone, as a percentage, because the Andhra plant is much larger in capacity, as a percentage, the prelam component, pre-laminated MDF component in north, as a percentage, is much higher compared to the one in the south. So that would also contribute to a higher per cubic meter realization in the north compared to the south.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samir Shah from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congrats for the good set of numbers. Two questions. One is, with such a demand-supply scenario that we have and operating at 100% plus utilization, why are we kind of not thinking of expansion or if you can give some?
Actually, sorry, Venkatji, I'll just give a small brief on that, then you can explain.
Yeah.
We foresee, I think the company has at the moment two very sort of distinct sort of objectives in mind. A, we want to reduce the debt on our books in this current financial year. B, we also foresee that at the moment, if you see, we are allocating about 10,000-12,000 cubic meters of production from the south plant to the export market. We are also allocating a fair amount of material to the OEM segment, which is obviously lesser in realization. So we foresee that over the next one and a half years, there is still a lot of scope to maximize margins and profitability from our existing production by improving the product mix, by selling to the more profitable customers, at the same time allowing us to reduce the debt load. So I think there is still a lot more scope from the existing capacity before we start thinking about additional capacities and more capital expenditure.
Understood. And sir, in case whenever we decide for further expansion, what is the status of, say, the land, etc.? I mean, what would be the lead time? That's what I wanted to understand. From the time you decide to put up a capacity?
I mean, as a thumb rule, I think from the point of conception to executing a first board under normal circumstances, I would say it's a period of 24 months. I mean, of course, if we consider in the future going forward to expand in Andhra Pradesh itself, then obviously land is abundantly available because we have a very large piece of land which was already planned for a future expansion. However, the decision to expand, if and when we decide to expand, may not necessarily be in the south. It could be another location that would be dependent on the market conditions. It could be dependent on raw material availability. So it would be a bit premature to answer your question on land. But I mean, about the time frame, I think 2 years is a fair sort of thumb rule to consider from the point of conception to executing the first board out of the plant.
Understood. And sir, second, what you just mentioned in terms of a lot of scope for improvement in terms of realizations, depending on the mix or the improvement in the mix that is possible. Is it safe to say that, even without this anti-dumping duty benefit, etc., margins can go up to 30%?
I think we would not like to comment on that as of now because market conditions, international prices are not in our control at this point of time. So I think it would not be a fair comment to say that it can or cannot go up. Anti-dumping has been in place for the past 7 to 10 years. However, certain countries or certain companies have been out of the purview of anti-dumping. So it is not that imports have not been coming in. They have been very much coming in. In fact, they have been increasing over the past 5-7 years. So it's very sort of hard to say how what the government, the new policies decided on anti-dumping and countervailing duty and how the market conditions would react. There are a lot of factors in play here.
Understood. Thank you.
So adding to Shobhanji's comments, I would like to state that if we are operating at optimum volumes and selling the entire production in the domestic market, we could possibly target a EBITDA margin of 30%.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We would request participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I just had one question was on the, there's a capacity expansion of 20% which you all have sort of put in the presentation. Just wanted to understand what will be the capex cost for expanding the MDF capacity, and obviously this will be a brownfield one.
Yeah, so we will be incurring a cost of approximately 25 crores for that brownfield expansion. It's not really an expansion in strictly in that term. So we are basically adding some machinery which will remove some of the bottlenecks from the existing process and enable us to expand the capacity. And we expect this additional capacity to be available to us from Q3 of the current year.
Okay, got it. And with that, our capacity would go close to 650,000 CBM, right?
Approximately 650,000 cubic meters.
I think it's important to highlight here that the 20% number of capacity expansion is also product mix dependent. So it's not, that is also dependent on the thicknesses that we get from the market. And so it's not a blanket 20% across the entire product range. So it would be dependent on the product mix of orders that we receive.
That's true.
Understood. And, second question was, our plants are running at, close to peak utilization right now. If I think about the broader industry in Q4, the MDF industry in India, the domestic plants, would you have a sense in terms of what utilization these plants would be at the industry level?
I think Q4 has been quite a sort of a good quarter for pretty much all the companies. One of the larger players, Action, unfortunately, the data is not available publicly since it's a private company. However, as far as our understanding goes, all the larger players like Century, Action, Rushin have all had very good sort of high percentage utilizations in the past quarter.
All right. Okay. And all right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Mehta from an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, a question for Mr. Shobhan Mittal. I understand that you're going to pay down some of the debt, but given the rapid rise that we're having in the company and given the rapid increase that we seem to be there for the demand for MDF, is it better to perhaps do an expansion instead of paying down debt? And secondly, I wanted to know something about the value-added products that the company is selling, in which ways you're adding value, and what percentage of your sales tend to be value-added?
We basically are of the sort of the idea that we have at the moment is that given the current cash flows and you know the reason that we are not expanding on an immediate basis, because there is still possibility of better optimization of our existing capacities and improving margins and profitability over the next one and a half years. So we are of the opinion that we should pay down the debt because the cash flows are comfortable and it allows us to do so, number one. It will bring down our sort of debt-to-equity ratio to a very lucrative level. And at the same time, put us in a comfortable position going forward to, whenever we choose to sort of engage into a capacity expansion, we would have a very healthy financial situation that would allow us to sort of expand. So we've always maintained that we engaged into a substantial capacity expansion with the Andhra plant, and the management's objective was always that for the first 2 to 3 years we will reduce the debt load on the company. On your question about the value added products, the company currently offers laminated flooring, which is produced in Rudrapur. Apart from that, of course, within the plain MDF gambit, we have the high grade club grade MDF that we produce, and then we also produce carb grade MDF, and we also produce exterior grade MDF. So these are generally higher grade, higher density MDF with more waterproof sort of properties built into them, which are sold at a higher price point. And then also pre-laminated MDF, which is a plain MDF coated with a decorative paper, is what we sell as a value-added product as well. And like Venkat mentioned, pre-laminated MDF is at the moment about 12-13% of our entire capacity is what we are pre-laminating. And if I talk about the other categories where we talk about, club and exterior grade, etc., I think that would be close to 25-30%.
Yeah. So the entire basket of value-added products, including pre-laminated veneered MDF, flooring MDF, and within the plain category, club and exterior grade MDF, all these account for approximately 35% in volume terms and about 46% in value terms.
Okay, so from what I understand from the first part answer to the first part of my questions was that you are looking for slight expansion through debottlenecking and other processes, but you're not seeing such a vast increase in demand that there should be need to set up another bigger expansion. Is my understanding correct?
Like I mentioned, our focus is to have the optimum utilization from the existing capacities and also reduce the debts substantially, to de-risk the company before we go for another substantial expansion.
Cost optimization efforts and your cost reduction efforts. I mean, those have really shown up. So thank you.
Yeah, basically achieving the optimum volume, the optimum product mix, the optimum customer mix. So all of this, because once you get into expansion mode, part of the focus gets diverted from these requirements. So we would prefer to have the optimum mix from the existing capacities before we go in for another expansion.
That. And thanks and congratulations for doing a wonderful job there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in Q2 and Q3, we had seen a lot of unavailability of containers and also the cost of container was pretty high. So what is the current scenario? Can you throw some light on that?
So
I'm assuming you're referring to our export business.
Export, import, both.
Yeah, I mean, we are not so dependent on imports, sir. So I think the, where containers come into the picture is more primarily for our export business. So, yes, availability previously has been a concern. Prices have been quite inflated. But things have improved on the cost front. Availability of certain sizes continues to be a challenge for certain ports. But overall, the situation is much more improved than, you know, the quarter three and the quarter four of last year.
Right. And last question from my end is 35 days on working capital sustainable, you know, going ahead, because we'll be having double digit kind of growth. So is this number sustainable going ahead as well?
Yeah, it's sustainable, and it's, you know, something which is part of the ethos of the company. So we always want to, you know, convert our profits into cash, and that can be done only if we keep a close watch on the working capital situation. So, you know, we want value-added sales, and we want those sales to get converted into cash at the earliest opportunity.
Right. Thanks. That was helpful. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
We would request participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. If time permits, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Hasmukh Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the management for good set of numbers. And you nicely explained the challenges that you are undergoing. A couple of questions from my side. First question is, because of this lockdown condition, etc., are we able to operate our plants at full capacity utilization now, matching with whatever is the demand?
We are not facing any issues at the plant. So, you know, we can continue to operate the plants at full capacity. But definitely we are facing some challenges in procurement of orders. So if the order situation improves, you know, we are definitely capable of operating the plants at full capacity.
Okay. Another question is, in the full year, out of 1,000 crore turnover, how much was domestic and how much was export?
Our business can be split into two parts. So on the plywood side, you know, the entire business was domestic, which comprised of approximately 217 crores. And of the MDF business of 783 crores, 663 crores came from the domestic and 120 crores from export.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from RK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations for a good set of numbers. Question on the sales side, you know, what is our value proposition to a retail end customer, right, versus our competitors? Is it price? Is it supply chain? Is it quality? Is it distribution? What is our value proposition? What is our competitive edge?
I think so. You know, being currently the, you know, the player with the largest installed capacity in the country, with its entire production being produced out of a European manufacturing line, I think we are in a very unique position where serviceability from our plants is the fastest to our customers. You know, which allows them to reduce their inventory, sort of carrying a requirement, etc. And, you know, I think it's very safe to say that we are, if not, I mean, you know, at par or even superior to our competitors. We like to think we're in terms of quality. Of course, we offer a very good quality product. MDF, end of the day, is a commodity product. So what we can sort of you know, try to get a competitive edge on is serviceability, is, you know, the quality of the product, and more importantly, after sales service, which we are able to provide through our sort of expansive network of sales team and our dealer base.
So in turn, you count on your dealers, you know, where to sell more, and it's basically your the push that you get from the dealers, right? So it's not the end customer, not the individual end customer that you target, you know, for more sales. Rather, it's the service entity towards your dealers, right?
Well, no, we do target our end consumers towards customer towards demand generation. We are providing that service to our dealers. And also because demand generation, end of the day, ends up being the company's responsibility. Of course, the supply chain, the dealers are a very important part of the whole sort of machine. But at the same time, the company's people are very much engaged with the end consumers to generate inquiries and service their needs.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkat Samala from Tata Asset Management. Please go ahead. Venkat Samala from Tata Asset Management, you may go ahead, please. Venkat Samala from Tata Asset Management, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. First thing I just wanted to understand is what has been your experience with respect to the thick MDF when the anti-dumping duty was imposed by the government on the thick MDF? So if you could just answer in terms of the realization improvement that you would have seen in the market specifically for thick MDF, and also if there was any impact or improvement for the domestic players with respect to volumes.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Venkat.
Yeah. Anti-dumping duty has not yet been implemented. It has been recommended by the Commerce Ministry, and currently it's under the consideration of the Finance Ministry. So we'll have to look at the situation.
I think he's talking about historically. I think he's talking historically.
But then, you know, anti-dumping duty was imposed approximately 5 years back. And while there has been some positive impact, I won't say it, you know, it was a very substantial element, primarily because, you know, in the first place, countries like Indonesia and Vietnam were not covered under the ambit of anti-dumping duty. And even after they were covered in the second phase, you know, there were quite a few manufacturers from certain countries who were not covered by ADD. So while it has had some positive benefits, it has not, you know, really conferred the kind of benefits that the domestic industry was looking forward to.
Right. Sure. So I mean, your expectation with respect to the current anti-dumping duty and CVD, would that be similar? I mean, not expecting too much as a base case if it goes through?
Okay. It would depend upon the percentage of those duties. So while CVD would definitely be more favorable than anti-dumping duty, primarily because it will be across all products, both plain and pre-laminated MDF, both thin MDF and thick MDF, and across, you know, all countries from Southeast Asia who are currently exporting to India. So definitely CVD would be more positive than ADD. But then, you know, it would depend upon the quantum of CVD and ADD, which is implemented by the government. So, considering that proposals which the Commerce Ministry has recommended to the Finance Ministry, so those are quite favorable from what the situation was previously. But now it would depend entirely on how the Finance Ministry goes about it.
Understood. So, as I understand, this looks to be a little more favorable as compared to the one that was previously imposed on the thick MDF. I mean, that... that
sure. So the coverage of this is more sort of expansive. It will retain a lot more products and companies to bring in to India compared to the anti-dumping policy that was in place.
Understood. Sure. And my last question is, the traction that you're seeing, especially in the foreign market, are you able to see an increase in the export volume sequentially? I mean, QOQ over Q4?
So, yes. The export volume, export demand has gone up substantially. Pricing on the export side has also gone up substantially. But, as a company, the domestic market continues to be a priority, because we are a lot more competitive domestically as we are in the export market. And at the same time, a profitability in the domestic market tends to be generally higher for us because of the transportation involved in the export market and the competition in the export market. So, as a company, consciously, we choose to allocate only a certain percentage of our production capacity to the export market, even though the demand is much higher than we are willing to supply. And, unless the domestic situation changes drastically, we will continue to be in a sort of a similar supply situation with the export market as a company. But the international market drastically has gone up. Prices have gone up. Everything is on the uptrend.
Right. And one last question, sir. So the margins that you saw in the current quarter for MDF of about 28% versus 24% to 25%. So you did allude to some initiatives being taken and some capex also for improving the cost. So, is the improvement, have some of those initiatives that you've spoken about already in place, which has led to improvement of margins, or do you think that, most of them are still to happen and that could incrementally further add up to margins whenever they take place?
Okay. The capital expenditure that we are started in Q4, that's currently in process, and is expected to be completed, by September, October this year. So, part of the capex relates to, additional machinery for expanding the capacity. So, that will not have any positive impact on the margins apart from some minor benefits on absorption of fixed overhead. And the second part of the capex is, installation of some additional machinery which will help us to reduce the wax consumption. So, that would reduce the wax consumption by approximately 30 to 35%. So, that benefit will possibly be available from Q4 this year.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your questions to one per participant now. We take the next question from the line of Saurabh Agarwal from Bowhead Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My name is Gaurav. So, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the very good set of numbers. Sir, on your capacity expansion, I just wanted to get a few clarity. So, this enhancement of capacity which we are talking about, this will be majorly in AP or this will be at both the plants, in Uttarakhand as well as Andhra?
It's at both the plants. We are installing a very similar setup in both the plants. Both the preheating system as well as the wax consumption reduction system then being installed at both the plants.
Okay. And sir, this is specific to your plants, which are European machinery, or this can be done to other players
even other players have access to. They can also install such systems.
Thank you.
This is just to clarify. This would be applicable to the continuous lines. At least the capacity expansion system would be applicable to the continuous lines, not to the multi-opening ones.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Susmit Patodia from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir, and a great set of numbers. I'll have two questions, if you don't mind. First one is, if you can speak a little bit about your raw material, what you're doing there to get a better hold of it. You mentioned about clonal plantations. If you can just elaborate on that. And my second question is, you know, you had a veiled moratorium. Did it change the cost of debt for you because of that? Just these two questions. Thank you.
Vikarji, you want to get back?
I missed the first part of the question. Can you repeat that, please?
On the raw material.
Raw material. If you can tell us what steps can be taken to you know, better raw material availability compared to, you know, what the difference is in the industry, considering that you're the largest MDF player?
We have constraints, you know, as far as taking steps on improving the availability of, you know, raw material, primarily wood is concerned. So, you know, in India, land cost is prohibitive in most places, and that acts as a constraint in, you know, purchasing large plots of land and having our own plantations. So we don't have the financial muscle for that. And what we are doing is we are, you know, planting the saplings in our plant and, you know, providing them to farmers within a radius of 100 to 150 kilometers. So we are providing these saplings to farmers at our cost, basically, which means that they are able to procure it from us at 50% of the sapling cost in the market. So that's the step we are taking, you know, to improve the availability of raw materials, primarily wood. And now wood constitutes almost 65% of the raw material cost in MDF, approximately 80% in wood. So it's definitely a key raw material, but, you know, we are able to take only small steps to improve the availability of wood. And regarding the moratorium, no, we did not have to incur any substantial cost. So basically we paid, you know, approximately 2,000 euros to the German bank for the amendment agreement.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have only one question. If you can just help us with plant-wise utilization and margin for Q4 and FY21 for South and North, and in South, if you can just further break it up into export and domestic.
Okay. We had a capacity utilization of 96% at the Uttarakhand plant and 105% for the Andhra plant, which leads to 102% blended capacity in MDF. And as far as the domestic realizations are concerned, we had 25,000, the domestic realization for MDF in North plant was 25,480 per cubic meter. For the South plant, it was 21,124 per cubic meter. And during the fourth quarter, exports were approximately 17,900 cubic meters at an average realization of rupees 14,747.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balaji Vaidyanath from NAFA Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for great results.
Good evening and thank you.
Thank you. Just wanted to check on the, you know, in terms of the lockdown situation. Last year when we had the lockdown, you know, there was migration of labor, etc. So this time, of course, there's no national lockdown. Almost the entire country is at some sort of lockdown. So are we also facing labor issues? Because although 75% of your South plant consists of locals, there is still 20-30% non-locals. So who may have gone back to their villages, etc. Is that an issue that you are facing?
It's not an issue, primarily because on the MDF side, we don't have much requirement of labor. The entire process is automated right from the time the logs enter the, chipper machine to the final product rolling out from the hot press. So, on the plywood side, yes, labor requirement is significant, but most of the labor stay, in the labor colony, which is adjacent to the plant. And we have not seen any migration of the labor force happening during the current year. So at the moment, we are not facing any labor issues.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Arora from Safe Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I have two questions. I don't know if these questions have been answered. I got cut off in between. So first question is regarding, the industry capacity expansion. If you can give some idea as to, at what rate do you expect the capacity of the industry to grow on the MDF side over the next couple of years? Has anything changed, after a bumper Q4 for all the players and keeping in mind the pandemic situation? So that would be my first question. My second question is regarding the value-added products that you spoke about, volumes contributing 35% share. So in that, and you also mentioned that MDF as a category, it's quite commoditized. So in that context, I wanted to understand, do we have any differentiated products wherein we get better pricing? Where, the competition does not have those products?
Okay, I'll take the first part of the question and Shobhanji can take the question regarding value-added products. So as far as the expansion in the MDF industry is concerned, I think the only capacity which we'll see operational during the current year is Rushil's capacity in southern India. That was expected to be operational in March, but that has got delayed since the German engineers have returned to their home country. So at the moment, it's difficult to predict when the engineers will come back and Rushil plant will be fully operational. And then I think the next capacity, which could be online sometime next year, could be Century's brownfield expansion in Punjab. So I think apart from those, we should not see any major capacity expansions happening in FY22 and 23.
Okay, and with relation to the value-added product, I think the only product that is unique to us, although it's a very small, quantity, would be veneered MDF, primarily because we are in a sort of unique situation where we produce MDF in the same plant where we produce our factory, where veneers are easily available and the machinery is available. But apart from that, all the other value-added products, flooring is offered by us as well as Action. And the other grades of MDF and pre-laminated MDF is, uniformly available with all the manufacturers. So there is not too many sort of differentiating products available in the MDF segment itself.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Jain from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on the great numbers, sir. My question was actually related to one of the alternatives for raw materials. We understand that in certain countries such as US, they have started using raw materials such as rice straw for MDF. So I wanted to know your opinion and if our company is exploring such opportunities in the near future instead of looking at eucalyptus.
No, rice straw is not used for MDF, but it is more used for production of particle boards. I mean, as far as my understanding and knowledge goes, the only place where an alternative form of raw material is being used to produce MDF is in Egypt, where there is a plant which on a very small scale produces MDF made out of bagasse. And that model, unfortunately, has been very unsuccessful in India. You know, there was a company called Bajaj Hindustan who had entered into production of MDF using bagasse, but it was, you know, it was unfortunately unsuccessful to be a profitable venture, and it shut down. So MDF, because of the nature of the product and, you know, because of the fiber that is required, there are not many, there are not many alternate sort of raw material options.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Ketan Gopani from Unique Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand, and sorry to push again on this capacity expansion thing. So as per what you have mentioned, if we don't plan a capacity expansion, say in the next 1.5 years, our sales might reach a stagnancy for the next 2 years. So just wanted to understand your view on the same.
Okay, I'll take that question. We had sales of approximately 780 crores during the current financial year. And with the expanded capacity, which is expected to be operational by Q3 this year, we could potentially reach sales of 1,550 crores of MDF from the existing capacity post-expansion. So that gives us a lot of, you know, room for improving the sales, for achieving sales growth over the next 2 to 3 years. So I think, you know, the requirement for a very large expansion is not really a requirement at this point of time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Shah from Turtle Star Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, my question is from the potential for MDF. Sir, if largely if the customer's preference is moving towards ready-made furniture or, you know, buying it from companies like IKEA, etc., then how is it an opportunity or threat for MDF overall over the next 3 years or maybe even a longer period? Could you give me some understanding on that?
No, absolutely. You know, the reason why we have seen a lot of conversion happening from the plywood side is also because of the acceptance of ready-made furniture, which indirectly, increases acceptance of MDF. So this is definitely a very big opportunity. And, you know, IKEA, where the model is basically of knockdown furniture. Sometimes it's a build-it-yourself or sometimes an installer comes, you know, where people are more exposed to the materials being being used. And, you know, when they see and they start using and then they realize that, you know, MDF is very much an acceptable product and, you know, it's long-lasting and not inferior to plywood, which is the misapprehension at the moment, then definitely the acceptance of MDF in general would increase. And even applications where plywood might be used or they may consider using plywood, it would be easier to convince or, you know, because cost in MDF is obviously far lower than compared to a good quality plywood. So definitely machine-made furniture manufacturing is a huge opportunity for MDF.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of Karthik Bhatt, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I think in one of the earlier calls, last quarter calls, you had mentioned that one of the drivers in India was India becoming a hub for furniture exports to markets like Europe, US and all. And that has also generated demand for MDF. So how sustainable is this? I mean, number one, and what elements are driving this? Is it cost, quality, or what is it, if you can throw some color on it? And I believe in terms of realization, domestic versus exports, is there any difference that we see?
I think, you know, with the sanctions on China, primarily from the US, of course, a lot of the manufacturing, which was originally happening in China, has moved to other countries. India has definitely benefited from that. You know, the government is strongly pushing, an increase of furniture production locally. This is primarily due to two reasons. A, a lot of the furniture, ready-made furniture coming into India is currently imported. And the government realizes the importance of furniture being made locally because it will help preserve the foreign exchange reserves and, you know, expand growth to the domestic sort of industry. Yes, I mean, and by default, you know, when furniture manufacturing is done locally, it opens up export possibilities as well. Today, unfortunate situation in India is that furniture is being made locally, but it is not being sold locally. It is being, a lot of it is being exported. So, and these purchasers based in the US or in Europe who were buying from China are now, focusing on India as a possible sort of country to source from. And when you talk about the margins, you're talking about the MDF prices, is it? For locally as opposed to internationally.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, domestic prices are definitely more lucrative and more, higher profits for us. Hence, our focus continues to be on the domestic market because, you know, internationally, it's a commoditized product and, a lot of players are involved. Here, we have the benefit of, being producing locally, a market size that's available for our entire capacity as well as lower transportation costs. Whereas if we start selling to the Middle East, which is a very large sort of primary export market for us, then you have other competitors like Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand. So, competition is higher, hence pricing is sort of more competitive and strained.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining this call and we look forward to speaking to you again post our next quarter results. If anyone has any further questions or queries, do feel free to let us know and we'll be happy to answer them. Thank you so much and please be safe everyone.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Green Panel Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.